So it was like, the size of a button. And I was like, I was wiping for like 20 minutes. Wait, are we on the air?
You forgot to make sure the mic wasn't on.
I hate when that happens.
Awkward.
Ah, private conversation. Well, no one could figure out what I was talking about. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Art Star Scene Radio.
Hello.
On Radio Free Brooklyn. I am Face Boy.
I am Face Girl.
I am Juno Tempest.
We have quite the full house. We have 420 artist in the house.
Hello.
Nikki Pops is here. Victor Varnado is here.
Hello, everyone. I am here as well.
And if that wasn't too much, the return.
The return
of Sarah Elizabeth.
Hi, everybody.
Yay! Is it too much?
Yes.
Not for me. I'm pleased as penis.
You're swell. Wouldn't that be swell?
Vibrant.
If you're pleased as penis, swell.
It would be swell.
Swell.
Swollen.
Also.
Probably. Probably.
To a decent extent.
Oh, smash.
Hey, everybody. What is happening right now?
Let's all just ignore him. Know. Nobody's saying anything.
Police are searching for an armed suspect who fled northwest on Bushwick Avenue from Dodworth Street.
That's where we just came from.
Is it?
It is now.
Face Girl, I sent you a link. But before we get to that, or while you're pulling that up.
That was the guy carrying the mannequin.
Very important question, Sarah Elizabeth. Very serious, very deep.
What?
Who's the pug in the picture?
She's not a pug, first of all. She's a French bulldog. And that is my daughter, Sophie.
French, let me fix that.
She has pug coloring. People frequently think that she is a pug. They also frequently think that she is a boy. But she is,
I can relate.
My new puppy. She just turned 9 months old yesterday.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
You gave birth to a dog?
Yeah, it was a medical miracle. I'm actually, they're writing about it in a lot of science journals right now. So if my phone rings during this broadcast, that's why. It's because I'm getting an interview from Harvard about my
birthing
a dog.
That is amazing and impressive.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm really proud of myself. It was a difficult thing to accomplish.
Was it a litter or only one dog?
No, just one, which is, shocking usually for dogs because it's usually a litter of at least five or more. But I just magically gave birth to a singular dog.
It's a medical miracle. Evidence is empirical.
Hey, you guys, is this sketch going to go into a second act? Or are we done? Which way are we going
to
go?
She just gave birth to a dog.
It's got a song.
We could do like a live recreation of the audio of birthing a dog.
No, thank you.
So, we're not going into a second act, Victor.
Okay, thank you. You've answered my question.
Mashed potatoes.
Potato.
Also, sort of in the studio, Matt.
Yeah, sort of.
Sort of.
Sort of.
Right outside the studio.
Yeah.
You didn't want to come in?
I guess.
All right. Well, that's fine by us. So I'm sorry. The name of the English bulldog is?
Sophie. Do we have off-limit subjects for this broadcast, Catherine?
No. Go right into
it. Is this the person you were telling me about last weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's so exciting. Ah.
That's sad.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's hilarious.
What is?
That's hilarious. Considering, I mean, do you want to go deeper?
I don't care. I'm.
I said considering the conversation we just had.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
All right. Now we're definitely gonna be talking about Pride and all kinds of things related to Pride because that is the big Pride parade is coming up in New York City tomorrow. But not a lot of things related to porn creep me out. But I found this. Face Girl, if you could read this, this is a forum, an online forum, and this guy is posting, and once you start getting creeped out, just go, ooh.
Raise your hand. I think raise your hand when you've reached your limit, and we'll see who can stay on this the longest.
Okay.
Is that the game?
Do we win?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. You win Pride.
Yeah.
It's Pride Month.
So, re-amateur porn tubes, age and identification, and international law. Well, at first, I wasn't looking for it. But kept on finding it. Take the case of Rachel Bruno, for example. And then a bunch of links. I included this link because it is the only one I can find which mentions the propagation of videos featuring her during her time with John Savage. I ran into her videos on the Standard Tubes. X Videos is rank 43 and X Hamster 66 globally by Alexa. More than once with the full story mentioned in the comments. To date, I've gotten over 50 of her videos that had been up for months to years, removed from sites like Xvid, Xham, Pornhub, Triple X Bunker, etc.
So far, he's gotten 50 videos removed from these various websites.
And have come to find other questionable videos, but hers is the only with a known backstory. I've even saved the URLs and saved some that haven't been able to get broken. I also run a blog on the subject, a little viewed blog that badly needs a facelift, but I'm working on that too. God, he's fucking wordy.
This is horrible journalism.
I think it's funny. It's like, and by the way, these are my graphic design goals. But anyway, back to the kitty part.
But I'm too lazy.
Is this the right one?
Yeah, this is the right one.
I'm just out of boredom. Are you tapping out? No, okay. All right, let's try. It is a system.
So far, no one is creeped out by the idea that this guy spends all of his time looking for child pornography, supposedly to get it taken down.
Wait, this isn't child porn.
I didn't gather that from what she's read.
I thought he said child porn at the top.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Where?
I need to work on my listening comprehension, clearly.
Yeah, we're not listening.
Not really. No, I got bored.
No, it says take the case of Rachel Bruno, for example. She's not a child.
No.
So where does it say child porn?
But underage?
It says age and identification, the international law.
All right, well, let's keep going and maybe it'll get creepier.
All right.
Or maybe it's just me. Wouldn't be the first time.
Mm. This is a system that is broken if videos from a case like hers can be so widely distributed. The burgeoning revenge porn laws are a good start, but still insufficient to deal with the magnitude of the problem. For instance, go to X Videos or the like and search for the teen categories. Not something I personally made a habit of until recently. Scanning for amateurs.
Okay, we got one. We got one.
Wait a minute. Until recently. I didn't make it a habit. Until recently. It was just scattered.
Yeah. How many do you think may be under 18? I don't know. And neither do the tubes. They make posting porn that you got from wherever, of whoever, as easy as it was for me to join this forum. That is a problem. What is this forum?
It's a legal advice forum.
Okay. Why shouldn't it be easy for... All right.
I have no idea.
The amazing thing is that this has been going on since XTube and the advent of Porn 2.0 and has gone completely unaddressed.
I have another question. Why does he know this kind of history?
Because he's a scholar.
Yeah, I figured there'd be more hands at this point.
I mean, I'll chime in. I've been a cam girl very lazily, and they require Chatterbait. Chatterbait actually requires a photo ID, a picture of you, and a picture of you with your photo ID. And if you have any guests on your cam, they also have to do that. And that's just to prove, like, for camming purposes. But for porn, because it's pre-recorded, like, it becomes a very problematic area, because how do you vet that? You can't, because everyone has a fucking porn studio in their pocket. So, like, revenge porn, yeah. Like, kids, like, being convicted of producing and distributing child pornography, even though they're in it, so they're the victim of their own crime. Yeah, it's fucked up. Like, there's no easy solution.
Until recently.
Until recently on this legal advice blog. Thank you.
Just to lighten the mood, I just want to, you know, since we're on radio and people can't see what's going on, Catherine is reading this whole thing with her phone attached to a selfie stick. That's all.
It's not really a selfie stick, but it is a tripod.
Never mind then. It's a tripod. It's a mobile tripod. Porn studio, like yeah. We were saying.
It is literally a mobile porn.
It's good for upstairs.
Catherine's porn studio.
If anybody wants to cam girl.
We can move on from this, but yeah. I just thought this guy was obviously posing as some sort of porn police, but all he's doing is maybe there's more there.
Tell me why you know about Rachel Bruno.
Rachel Bruno?
Calling out this porn police. Okay, let's talk about that.
Oh, just a story I ran across someday.
Came across.
Okay, my asshole.
Because she's referenced in that, and that's more disturbing than anything I just read.
Yeah, that is.
Her entire story.
It is.
Google it.
Let's get to this. Corporate rainbows, I'm calling it. And it's something that pisses me off quite a bit when you see...
Bullshit pride.
Bullshit pride. When you see...
It's called rainbow capitalism on the official internet.
Okay.
AKA Twitter.
Thoughts on it?
Fuck that.
Yeah, I mean, these are companies that have terrible histories often with hiring people... of the LGBTQ plus community. And then when June rolls around, they've got all these rainbow flags out. It's like, we'll take your money, but we won't hire you. It's a lot of bullshit. And you seem to have some thoughts on this, Sarah.
I have a lot of thoughts on it. Simply just because, I mean, rainbow capitalism in itself is fucked. But it's literally everywhere this year. You know, I mean, it's always, I think, been a problem. But this year, it's just absolutely freaking rampant. And, you know, today... I was taking the subway to go meet a friend for lunch, and I was getting on the G train instead of the L because historically one avoids the L train on the weekends because construction. And I see a sign that says G trains are now running on regular weekend schedules just for this weekend because we're running the L train without construction because we're celebrating pride. Gee, thanks MT Gay for acknowledging that everyone that lives in Bushwick is at least a little bit queer, but come on. Like, even the subway is like, we're celebrating pride. And like, Papa John's, I'm sorry, Papa John's, do you really have any business? Everything is just rainbow colored.
They're popping boners for those profits.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
And it's like, okay, fine. You know, maybe when I get home and I'm hungry and I see an ad with a rainbow on it, I'll order a large Hawaiian pizza with some Canadian bacon. But like, it's just ridiculous. And every single frigging company is just covered in rainbows. I mean, it took a Lyft to get here. The route was rainbow. Uber is rainbow. Mm-hmm. If, you know, you want to take a rideshare, your rideshare is gay just this month, which is great. Don't get me wrong. I wish everyone was queer, but like, it's just this month and next month it's going to stop. And it's not real. It's just capitalism and it's nonsense. And even Bud Light has fucking rainbow cans this year.
Oh, Bud Light. Bud Light's been on the gay train for a while.
But no one should be proud about drinking piss water. I'm sorry. No one should be proud about drinking piss water.
Some people flag yellow, okay?
That's fair.
Don't kink shame.
Yellow and like pale, like clear is different.
Depending on how hydrated you are, yes.
Maybe you haven't heard, but there's this thing called the Hanky Code, and it's very, very gay, and yellow. Yellow is what you flag. I think right if you're a top and left if you like to take it in the mouth or the ass, you know, equal opportunity
orifices. Employer.
Yeah. Employment of, urine, I guess.
What if you're a top who likes to take it in the mouth?
I have a question.
Okay.
My question is, isn't this ultimately the purpose of Pride Month anyway?
What?
Normalization, not capitalization. Right. Yeah.
You're profiting off of a marginalized group of people, using it as a marketing scheme to make it more accessible and asking for people to give you money. And like Stonewall was a riot.
I'm not saying that that is not happening. I'm just saying, but that's not the only byproduct.
It's not the only one, but it's a huge one, especially this year. And I think not recognizing it.
I absolutely agree. However, what I'm saying is that isn't it... the purpose of Pride Month to get people who would not normally come face to face with the idea of pride in the LGBT community to see it, to understand that it's there and to know that it's supported by many, many people in the world, even if it's also financially supported. But isn't that part of the goal?
I'm not sure. I don't think that that isn't part of it.
I get what you're saying because capitalism is absolutely rampant. globally, we cannot escape it. It's just a necessary evil at this point. But that doesn't mean that I have to take the money that I make below poverty level to buy something from, say, Target that has a trans flag on it, because I, like, they're not hiring me because I worked for Target in 2009. And because I, because of their, the way that their computer system works, because of the, I think they use ADP as their, like, hiring management software. My application is always flagged, even though I have, like, years of experience in customer service. I've literally worked for that company before, but because I have a different legal name, which I must disclose, otherwise I can't apply. And if I do disclose, so it doesn't matter if I disclose or not, I'm going to be flagged because my name is legally changed and my legal name is connected to my social security number. And so no matter what, I'm fucked. I can't get hired at Target, this like nationwide retail chain. But, you know, I can buy a trans flag there.
I absolutely agree that Target should be checked for shit like that. That sucks. And definitely that should be checked. But I feel like, and considering that everybody's going, I mean, considering that the Pride Month is going to be there and this thing is going to happen, I feel like there is a better way to focus energy to help help LGBT. It's very hard to remember all the letters together, but
I know there's four of them.
LGBTQ. No, isn't it more now? Is it like LGBTQ? You know,
no.
Am I wrong?
No,
there's a lot more.
But there are more, right? There are. She says there are.
There's a whole spectrum of, you know, all of queerness, gender, sexuality, self-expression. Like, it's limitless at the end of the day because it's about whatever feels good to you. But the point that I'm not really getting about, like, what you're saying, and I hear you and I do agree with that, is the rest of the year. You know, look at statistically this year, how many Black trans women have been murdered this year just for existing,
so many.
Not for doing anything. And yeah, it's great that Pride Month makes things more visible through capitalism and there's more rainbows and whatever. But what are these companies that are profiting off of, you know, people who are in danger for existing as who they are? What are they doing the rest of the year?
I agree. I look at them as separate things, though. I think that those companies that are not doing things, let me tell you why I look at it as separate things. Because I think those companies that are not doing things are just terrible. They're terrible, but they don't look at it any different than that company did that stole all the dances from dancers for Fortnite. Like, they don't look at it any different than that. It's just a thing that's not copywritten that they can profit from.
Yeah, but copywriting and stealing someone's intellectual property is a completely different conversation from profiting off of a marginalized group of people.
I agree, but I think that that's not how they see it.
And yeah, I think that's the issue that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Juno, but
therein,
like, that
lies the problem.
Yeah, that the companies don't see it because they don't live it. They don't experience that the rest of the year. So it's easy to say, oh, I'm just going to take this and I'm going to run with it because it's marketable and people are responding to it. And yay, Pride, we're doing the right thing. But from my perspective, until those companies do something the rest of the year, what they're doing is wrong. And it's more wrong than stealing intellectual property, because then you're being complacent.
I'm
going to
leave now.
Wait, what happened?
I'm not against you. No. I'm on your side about this.
Wait, what happened? I missed something.
Later.
What did I miss?
I'm not sure, but...
Yeah, these.
Wait.
I don't understand what happened. I like Juno, but I don't understand why she's so upset.
I think that although your statement wasn't meant to be invalidating, that they're just... From Juno's perspective, I think having some empathy for the fact that that could make someone feel incredibly uncomfortable is something that is important. And
it's just, I know indirectly it was kind of alienating is the truth. And it's indirect. I know you didn't mean it that way at all. And I totally understood the delivery myself. I totally got it. But maybe from Juno's perspective, didn't quite get the delivery. So I'm feeling Juno felt it was more of an attack than a siding with.
I understand that. I understand that. I'm always straightforward and honest about my opinion with my people whom I care about, including Juno. And so I also think that everything that about these that these companies do and ignore is terrible. But I also think that like depending on how you place your effort. Here's an example of what I'm talking about is there was the Atlanta, Georgia Comedy Festival. And the Atlanta, Georgia Comedy Festival, it's called the Laughing Skull Festival. They had no black women in their comedy festival in Atlanta, Georgia. Okay? And then black women comedians. What?
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. It's terrible.
How is it even possible?
It's terrible.
I'm thinking to myself.
Yep. It's terrible. And so
you'd have to go out of your way to make that happen.
Yep. So the black women comedians were just like, what the fuck? You know, and they were like ballistic online, okay? And then the festival was like, hey, we tried. There are no qualified people, blah, blah, blah. They were just back and forth. And everybody went to 11, okay? And so there was no real communication happening, all right? So what I did was I wrote an open letter to the Laughing Skull Comedy Festival. You can actually see this online. I wrote an open letter to the Laughing Skull Comedy Festival. And in my open letter, I said, hey, Laughing Skull Comedy Festival, you don't have any black women in your festival. And of course, there are people who are upset about that. Of course they're upset because it's a mostly black community. You don't have any black women in your festival. And of course they're rightfully upset. Now, I understand you're upset too, because I know that you probably not on purpose tried to exclude black women, but because of whoever selecting or whatever, like you guys weren't aware, you didn't think about it. And now you're backed up against the wall. And I get that you tried and nobody's giving you credit for that. But you have all the power in this situation. And so why not try and do something positive, like maybe just add a few black women to the comedy festival? I mean, it's not going to be perfect, but at least it's a step in the right direction. Why don't you just do it? And they did.
And that's great, because you're in a wonderful position as someone who is a, you know, white person, and you see, okay, here's this issue, and I have a voice that these people might listen to. Okay. I am distance enough. Can I finish what I'm saying?
First of all, you should know I'm black.
Okay, I apologize for making the assumption, so I'm an asshole. But no, presenting.
Totally fine.
So clearly, thank you for clarifying, and I apologize for making that assumption. But the point that I'm making here is, and I apologize, presenting, people might listen to you in a way that they might not listen to a black person who presents with darker skin. And I'm sorry if
I'm not
you don't
presenting,
agree with
it. But it's my
no,
skin.
But I understand that. But that is about the way that you are viewed by other people. So a non... Let me finish what I'm saying. Let me finish what I'm saying, because I've let you talk. So presenting is not necessarily a choice. Sometimes it is. Other times it is not. A female woman who is trans might not always come off as female presenting, regardless of them having a sex change, regardless of them taking estrogen, regardless of them being on hair hormone therapy. To society, some douche nozzle might look at them and go, oh, that's a man. That is not a choice for them, right? Okay, so what I'm saying is, you're in a position as someone, because clearly I'm an asshole and I made an assumption about your race, which I'm taking responsibility for, which isn't cool, but you were in a position where you were able to write a letter because it was wrong, but you weren't a woman also. So you're not a woman. You see these black women comedians who aren't given a voice in a space where they should. You seeing something that's wrong, but being able to have enough space and distance from it to not have that just send like seething anger through your body, to not have that give you a panic attack, to not have that remind you of trauma that you experienced when you were younger. Maybe it did, but where you are at in your personal journey, you were able to do that, which is awesome. You were able to write a letter and you were able to say something to the people that could make that change, and they were able to do it. And all in all, the situation was a giant victory, and that's awesome and good on you for using your voice to make positive change. That's awesome. That's what we should all be doing. We should all be using our voice to to make positive change, from my opinion, right now.
I think except for the presenting issue, I think we agree, because I think that people should use their voice to make positive change. And that's why I did it, because I can't stand the internet, because the internet is so many people saying, hey, this is how you should live your life. Like that's what the internet is. Like so many people like typing that on the internet. And I dislike that. And so I don't ever like on the internet do that. Like I don't type on, I don't do that. The only thing I do or have done now is like, if I really feel strong about something, I actually try to do something to affect change. And that means considering what is it that people are not going to hear. Because a lot of times when you're going after somebody, you're going after them in a way, and this is you in just like the whole world as a you when you're mad. You go all the time, we go after people in a way where but they're not really going to hear us, like the way that we come at them. And so I try to come at people in a way that they can hear it.
I'm glad that we're having a spirited discussion, but before we lose any more guests or co-hosts, I want to be the first to admit that I am wearing a Mick butt plug right now. And what I want to know is, you know, why is the Mick butt plug only available in June? Why can't I get a Mick butt plug all year round? And you know, it's up in there. It's vibrating.
Why doesn't it have that Szechuan sauce either?
That's right. That's right. But no, but seriously, what I want to get back to is that, or to sort of sum this up, is that companies that are selling themselves as being friendly to the LGBTQ+ community to make money, that have a history of their CEOs
contributing
to politicians who consistently vote against any issues that would bring forward rights to people in my community.
Donating money to conversion therapy. I mean, Chick-fil-A had rainbow ads this year.
Get the fuck out.
I'm not kidding. I saw one on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the kind of shit that really pisses me off, and that's the kind of stuff that I was trying to bring here. And but we're gonna shift gears here. Face Girl, did you prepare a song? Music always brings us back.
Do the read on airs.
Okay. Radio Free Brooklyn is a 501c3 nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a free and open platform to our community and promote media literacy, education, and free expression. We rely primarily on donations from listeners like you to help support our mission. We invite you to make a one-time donation or a monthly pledge at radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. Every cent helps us to continue to stay on the air. So please support independent community media by pledging whatever you can afford. All contributions are tax deductible to the fullest extent of the law. Again, that's radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. And if you want to give directly to this show, it is also tax deductible. You can go to rfb.nyc/ass. That's rfb.nyc/ass. And before we move on, I don't want to be the guy that just says we're going to be moving on. I want to make sure everybody has said what they want to say about this, or if they have more to add, if you know what you're feeling, what's going on.
All I just want to say that I think is an important thing to think about right now is, just because something doesn't affect you, just because something doesn't make you feel bad, just because something doesn't make you feel like you're in danger, doesn't mean that it's not happening. And that's not just a conversation for Pride. That's not just a conversation about the LGBTQ+ community. That's just a conversation about the state of this country right now. You know, there are a lot of really terrible, 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 terrible things that are happening to all sorts of people in this country right now. And I think we all need to work on just having an awareness that, like, just because it doesn't affect us doesn't mean that it's not ruining other people's lives.
I 100% agree with that.
It's totally a complete human rights issue. It's not just a LGBT issue. It's not just a race issue. It's not just a religion issue. It's not just ethnic, it's not even social standing anymore. It's totally just bigotry across the board. Yeah. And people have to understand that stepping on each other is not the way that we're going to move forward, society or evolutionarily speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm not ready to move on myself. This month shouldn't be hard for me, but it really, really is. It's extremely difficult. It brings up all kinds of feelings. And, you know, the Stonewall is six blocks away from my house. And a lot of people, you know, this year we're talking about it. We're hearing about it. We're hearing the name Sylvia Rivera. It's we're hearing these names finally. The Stonewall movie had her like as an afterthought. This was 1969. I was 4 years old. I didn't know what was going on. 10 years later, 1979, I was 14 years old. I knew exactly what was going on, and I knew who I was. And there wasn't acceptance. We were still fighting. And this is something I wrote just recently. These are the feelings that it brings up. They beat us. They arrested us. They pushed us into the darkness. Families abandoned us, pushed us into the streets. But not me, because I hid in the dark. Because I did what I needed to do in the filthiest of places, sitting on a toilet, cruising past a darkened closet-sized room, $12 to get in, hiding, always hiding, until that was all I knew.
In a wild time to be alive.
Thank you for letting me share that.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for sharing my balls.
No, but really though, like last night I wasn't there, and I don't know if this is entirely misinformation, but I had a friend who was at Stonewall last night, and there was a Black trans woman who got up to speak, and she started talking about her frustration with the commercialization of Pride, and how, you know, Pride was being stolen from the people who worked to create it. Apparently, she got escorted off of stage. And then the police were called.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
Last night at Stonewall.
Wait, what?
Yeah, this is something I read on Facebook right before I walked in, so I cannot confirm nor deny it, but the person who posted it is not the type of person who would have shared that if it hadn't happened.
Was she a scheduled speaker?
Or a reenactment? Is this a reenactment?
Right? Doesn't it sound really like happen? No. Last night at Stonewall.
And it wasn't a reenactment?
No.
Was she a scheduled there was no speaker?
Apparently, yes. It was at some point she went a little too far, and they escorted her off stage.
Oh, well, there's got to be video of it.
I'm sure there is eventually, but like that's the point, is that, like Catherine said, is this a reenactment? You know, like is the same shit that like people died for happening again? And it's not just, once again, it's not just an LGBTQ plus issue. Like, let's look at the freaking concentration camps that we have in this country right now. Is it happening again?
It is. We keep making the same mistakes because people, you know, when they get angry, when people get angry and they get very forward momentum and they get pushing with their belief and what they're trying to get done. And like in the 60s with freedom marching and all this kind of stuff, that once you broke a barrier, all of a sudden they backed off again, right? And this is what continually happens. You break a barrier and you back off. It's like, okay, you made a deal with us, right? We'll give you this if you just stop. And the people just stop. And there's no reason to actually stop. The whole purpose is to keep it going. Like you're saying, having Pride once a month, it's like having Black History Month. It's the most insulting shit I have ever heard in my life, to be quite frank. Okay, to turn around and say that I'm going to dedicate a month only to you. You're worth a month. That means every other day throughout the year, you don't matter anymore. That means you can't get a flag another day. You can't go into Target in December and buy a Pride flag.
No.
Why?
The ones that were there in June have been in the clearance section.
But why can't you buy one in December? If they're supporting it, why can't you?
I actually don't find Black History Month insulting.
I think it is because it should be spread throughout the whole year, and it should be just accepted and not needed to be separated and segregated. Segregation, I think, is the issue that keeps happening over and over and over again, is the fact just because somebody's different, somehow they think they got to separate it. And you don't have to separate it. It belongs with everything else. It's part of America now. It's part of culture, right?
I think so. But I really, again, like I feel for Black History Month, I feel it's about reaching people who you don't normally reach. And it is extremely commercialized, as is every month that is like that. Mm-hmm. But I also know that I also know that that every month, like, someone hears about Black History Month and then learns something actually about Black people who didn't know that before Black History Month happened.
But that should be presented all the time. They shouldn't have to say, I need to dedicate a month in order to recognize you. That is wrong. It is still a form of segregation. It's still a form of isolation. And it's a form of control with giving you something in return. Yes, I agree that the educational prospect of it is tremendous and it's wonderful. But why is it not happening every single month?
I feel like it's kind of a finger around the, a string around the finger of America, because it needs to remind itself about equality. I feel like without specifically telling people, hey, equality matters, that a lot of America, its natural tendency is to forget it. And I don't mind taking time to do that always, but I also don't mind also having a month where it's like, this is Black History Month, this is Pride Month. I don't mind it. I mean, I know a lot of my people, comrades who like are comedians, like I'm in a Facebook group that is only Black comedians that can only be in the group. And we talk about issues like that all the time. Like we talk about like crazy issues, because it's like a safe space where it's just like we can feel free to talk. And I just know that like a lot of people, what we do is we just try to make the best of what we have and keep pushing forward.
Mm-hmm. No, I can agree, but the fact is, every time you create a month, you create commercialism. And it's like when you see it on television, on the History Channel, and it's full of commercials, full of commercials, full of commercials.
I know, I get
sell,
that.
Sell, sell, sell.
I totally get that. I think it has to do with just like my POV, just like the way I work. Because like I understand and agree with all the stuff you're saying. But then my goal is to change the world from Black History Month to Black History All the Time is a huge step. What can I do today to help move that
forward
instead?
It's a minor step. It's really a minor step. It's just the fact of forgetting that you don't have to only talk about it during that month and then forget.
It may be a minor step for you, but there's so many people in the world whose minds, it's not a minor step at all.
Right, but until we decide to make that change ourselves, other people aren't going to.
Right, but what we do is I try to not look at it like I need to lift this whole thing at once. I'm like, okay, what can I do today to actually move forward? Like recently, that's actually part of the reason why I just became a New Yorker cartoonist, is because I wanted to, like, there are very, 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 very few Black New Yorker cartoonists, as you might imagine. Like one of the reasons that I was trying to get into the New Yorker is because like, and I asked them specifically, I was like, how many Black New Yorker cartoonists are there? And then they told me not enough, and they wouldn't tell me the number. Like this, so that's how few there are. So like, but that's something that I can do, or at least that I'm trying to do, that I'm trying like to, in a way, make it Black History Month all year long.
Correct. I mean, you already know that part of what I do is live streaming, and part of my live streaming is teaching people their own self-love and respect and understanding that they don't have to fight for acceptance, that they already deserve it, that they shouldn't have to prove anything to anybody.
I totally get it. I teach people nothing.
They shouldn't have to. I completely agree with you. No one should have to fight for acceptance.
They do.
But
they have to fight, but they don't have to prove anything.
Well, they shouldn't have to. But like, that's, once again, there's so much beauty in the things that you're saying. But I think that I was having this conversation over dinner the other evening with my godmother's friend. And he was saying, you know, I lived in the South for 10 years and racism doesn't exist there. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And we had a whole half hour, you know, conversation where I was talking to him. He tried to say, you know, you're generalizing. And eventually I just said to him, you know what, Peter, I'm going to have to end this conversation here.
Ooh, you named him.
I just said, I don't really think that anything I say is going to matter. And I said, but just because you, as a cisgendered white man with a lot of money, never experienced racism in the South in the 10 years that you lived in Texas, doesn't mean that it's not real.
Big surprise.
Big shocker. But I think that's the thing, is that like, just because each of us personally hasn't experienced things doesn't mean that people who have had to live through that haven't had to. So like, for instance, like, yeah, I wish that everyone discussed and was open about like the horrible atrocities that we committed against like, you know, black people in this country, that like slavery wasn't that long ago, and that like that is terrible.
I am leaving.
Too soon.
He's like a Sour Patch Kid.
Jesus. Oh my God. Sorry.
Victor, just so you know.
No, Victor's she's leaving. New, Victor,
I know, I'm leaving.
Victor, can I use your headset though?
Victor is the world's only black albino comedian. That's one of the ways that he
it's all the delivery.
I'm not the world's only black albino comedian.
You're not. No. You were when there's I an, first met you.
There's at least one other dude. He and I do not see eye to eye on what is comedy, but I am not.
He's not as good as him. As
only black albino comedian. I'm the most successful.
So the most successful. So there we're gonna have a song. And
I just unbuttoned my shirt unintentionally. And I got so upset. Thank with you. That
was quite a joke.
How did I miss
all that pride talk?
It's pride. Let's get naked.
It's radio.
How did I miss that?
I didn't really know how it
Damn
happened.
Damn it.
It just was.
Damn it. And then some of y'all might relate to this, some of you might not, but the next thing I want to talk about is a subject called sexually starting over, and just give that a thought for a minute, and I'm going to share where my mind is with that, and then many other people might have thoughts
attacked.
On it, or maybe not. So are you
I feel personally attacked?
Do you really?
Yeah.
I was talking about myself.
Yeah,
the feels are real in the room. That's all. The vibe is very thick.
Is there anything anybody would like to do?
Yes. I say we improvise a song.
Yes.
Here we go. Doo 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 doo.
Okay, you wanna? I bought some candy the other day.
Bought some candy. I had some Laffy Taffy. It was pretty sticky. Gonna brush my teeth. Take it away, face boy.
It's not gonna happen. I don't sing.
What did he say?
Welcome to hell, guys. This is purgatory, and it will never end.
Very close to becoming a medley.
Put that on loop, guys.
Very close to becoming a medley.
I hate medleys.
Pick a song. Becoming a medley.
So why a funny look when I talked about sexually starting over?
By now is a different song. This is still a melody. Yeah.
You start.
50 minutes. Okay. Yeah. I will.
Don't call me out like that. Come on.
Okay. So I realized that I don't know how long it's been since I saw you. It's been quite a while.
A minute.
It's been a minute. So my sexuality has morphed mostly into Lucille. Mm-hmm. You know Lucille.
I remember when you started dating.
Okay, Lucille. 5 years ago.
No, again this time.
Oh, again.
Again this time.
Again. Which one?
Okay.
Wait, your sexuality has morphed into Lucille.
Yeah.
That she fucks me in the ass with a strap-on dildo. And that's pretty much what we do all the time.
You did tell me that, yeah.
Okay. And I realized recently that it has been a long time since I have actually had my penis inside a vagina. And I want to do that again. And it feels like I'm sexually starting over. It feels like I want to start over sexually. I don't want to go back into the kinds of stuff that I was into at that up until this time, which was a lot of BDSM top kind of stuff. I just want to be
a bottom.
No. Actually, I want to be the person that I wish I was when I first started having sex.
He doesn't wear inhibition. Like,
oh. A chicken.
A chicken?
What?
A chicken?
Why did you mention a chicken?
No.
I think Victor just likes saying random things that will provoke like, shock in people.
She's deciphered my comedy.
This is why he's the most successful.
I was definitely raised in an era where the dude was supposed to know what they're doing, and I didn't. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And what I would tell my younger self would be just listen to your partner, listen to them and to what they want. And yes, I do that, but with a whole bunch of other stuff thrown in, I want to take all of that out and just be me and a woman. And what do you want? And what can I learn from you? And what should we do together? I want to start over that way because that's the way I wish I had been done when I first found that aspect of my sexuality.
Is this an advertisement?
Yes. And you can call me at, no. Junior, you're back. I'm very glad.
Me too.
Oh, very awesome.
So,
do you want your headphones?
So when you hear sexually starting over, what does that mean to you?
Mine's a lot more depressing. But
mine was hopeful, wasn't
it? Yeah, yours was hopeful and definitely kind of what I'm trying to do, but I'm not quite there yet. So I got assaulted a year ago. And by assaulted, I mean raped. And I say assaulted because it's a nice way to put it. By someone that I was dating at the time in my own bed while I was asleep after directly asking them, telling them that I was not in a place to be sexual that day and them verbally confirming to me that they heard me and they understood that. Shouts to Mike Weinstein.
Weinstein anyway, is in the name.
So yeah, so anyway, wow. after Mike raped me, I got victim blamed by everyone in my close personal circle because I had been raped before, which is a common theme. Where every time I've come forward about someone being abusive, they have discounted it by saying, well, Sarah's been raped before and she has PTSD, so she's clearly making it up. Whatever. Anyway, that was a whole thing, and that has completely messed me up in terms of my ability to feel safe with anyone sexually. And then I was engaged for a while, and he was physically violent with me. And since then, I have really kind of been unable to even want to have sex with anyone. And it's weird because I've been a historically promiscuous person my whole adult life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now I'm kind of starting over and I'm realized I'm terrified of men and I'm terrified of women because they're really pretty and fun. So I'm just kind of hanging out with my dog. And working on
Sophie,
starting over.
A French bulldog, not a pug.
Not a pug. Yeah. So that's sexually starting over for me. You know, I tried to have sex, had a panic attack in the middle of it. Ha cha cha. But I'm working on it. Working on starting over.
I feel like you're where I was.
Good luck.
When we met.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And before we get to if other people have thoughts on sexually starting over, and thank you very much always for being honest and open with me and on this show. But Juno, you've come back, and what's on your mind?
My mother told me when I was growing up, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. So that's where I'm at.
Okay, other people, what does sexually starting over mean for you? Anybody, if it.
Is there anything you do want to say, though?
I will say this is just a snapshot into every day of my fucking life. So the reason I got up is because, you know, everyone else in the room who is not trans had opinions about, like, just the whole pride thing and, like, what it's like to be trans and this and that. And I'm expected to teach people, but I'm, like, not paid for that labor and it takes up a lot of time. People always expect me to just, like, drop everything. Oh, well, I don't know any better. Please teach me. Yet, like, it's going to take a while. Like, Do you want the Cliff Notes? Okay, pay me. Venmo, $15.
More than 15.
At Juno Tempest.
Yeah, at Juno Tempest. Fucking for real. So, like, if the whole point of having me on this show as a trans woman is to educate people about what it's like to be trans, like, having other people talk about what it's like to be trans or talk about their opinions of trans issues, and I'm supposed to be silent, like, that's kind of antithetical, isn't it? That's why I got upset, and that's why I walked out.
Well, I wanted you on the show because I found that when
well,
you were
I
on
also
the show,
did not was... expect these three other people to be here. And, yeah, so.
Was my experience was when you were on the show, it was simply a better show. Same with Catherine.
Yeah, she I know, because I'm fucking talented.
Absolutely, yeah. And if you thought that it was for any reason other than that, I'm sorry I ever gave that impression if I did.
No, it's just like sometimes people are like sometimes people reach a breaking point. I reached that and I had to go outside to keep from like screaming and throwing things because this is a studio and the equipment is very expensive. And yeah, it's just easier to walk away than to confront when one is upset. So I walked out.
She may be referring to when I said teach people, and I just meant that if she felt like your voice wasn't heard, I think we want to hear your voice. People need to hear your voice.
Yeah, well, people have to shut the fuck up to hear my voice, you know?
Yeah.
That's the whole point, is that I wasn't able to speak, so I fucking left. That's kind of the point of Pride. Pride was Stonewall was a riot. People weren't listening, so shit got fucked up. You know? I'm pissed. And it is not appropriate for me to fuck shit up in this studio because, you know, I have a professional connection here, so I walked out because that's the socially appropriate thing to do. Yeah. Welcome to my life. This is not a joke. This is my real life.
But there's a lull. I just wanted to say if I spoke over you, I apologize.
No one realizes it. It's fine. People speak over you all the time too, I'm sure.
They do, but people it doesn't make it okay.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to express that because you do deserve an apology.
I appreciate that.
Also, I think I got very upset, even though, you know, I'm not trans and I have no right to speak about a trans experience, but as a queer woman, you know, it still elicited a very intense reaction from me. So mm-hmm. I probably didn't do a great job at listening or holding space in that regard. So
yeah,
double sorry.
Okay. I've just spent a lot of time and pain augmenting my body to fit what is expected of the gender binary so that I can kind of camouflage myself so that I'm not such a target. And that's fucking rough, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how it feels, but I'm sorry that you've had to fight through all of that. It's fucking garbage.
Yeah, that's whatever.
It's not whatever. That's the point of Pride. You know, that's the point of Pride, is so that people don't have to deal with that anymore. And
yeah.
It's...
Well, we're not there yet, obviously.
No, we're not.
Now's the time for plugs, right?
We only have 5 minutes left. Yeah, I've been
Speaking
actually.
Of plugs,
I've been,
he has
I've
the
been,
Mick.
The Mick butt plug in my ass.
Szechuan sauce.
I've been getting comfortable with silences on the air. I've when we had Robert Downey Sr. As a guest, one of the things he said to look into was a guy named Bob Fosse, and I did a lot of research on him, and he's one of the pioneers of freeform radio. And one of the things that he does or doesn't do is he doesn't try to fill in when there's silence. that is a time for people to maybe think about what they heard, to take a deep breath, that every single second of radio does not need to be filled. And I hope I'm using that tool of his well. But anyway, stuff that, it is time to promote stuff. Let's go around the room, starting with you, a fist girl.
All right. Every single Sunday, the Creek in the Cave has an open stage known as NYC Talent Show that is live streamed on multiple platforms, including Camfrog. People on Camfrog can go to watch Having Fun. People who are not already on Camfrog can go to watchhavingfun.com and they can interact with us during the show if they're not in New York, but they want to be there in spirit. They can also vote. They can also send tips. And if they send tips, performers will walk away with money. So it's the only open stage that pays performers. And I think it's the oldest. All right. And then Monday is Iron Mule screening at Alamo Drafthouse at 7 p.m. And if you want to submit films for future screenings.
Wait, what is that?
It's a film screening. It's a comedic film screening, and you can like come in, and if you want to be a star in the next one, you can win to be a star in the next film screening. It's a monthly screening called Iron.
So what do you submit?
Well, if you come, you
submit short films of any kind.
Any kind.
You can submit short films of any kind at the Alamo Draft House in Brooklyn. And then it also we have a contest every month where we make a movie around one person whom we draw from a hat. So we make a movie every month around someone.
I like that. 420 Artist.
Hi, how are you? You can find me almost everywhere as the 420 Artist online. You can find me on Instagram at tr_JamesVay, V-A-I. And I try to do positivity broadcasting on Camfrog on a regular basis. So 420 Artist on Camfrog as well.
Nikki Pops.
You can find me on Instagram at NikkiPops_cosplay. It's NIKKIPOPS _cosplay.
Victor, I know you got a whole lots. You always have so many things going on, but please.
Next week on July 8th, my first cartoon is being published by The New Yorker. So look it up.
That's excellent.
In The New Yorker.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's pretty much everything. You find me, I'm Victor Varnado. So just Google me and I think I'll come up.
All kinds of shit comes up. I believe you said July 21st is when you premiere your new show on Radio Free Brooklyn. Is that correct? Sad. Or am I just terrible with numbers?
Yes, yeah, Sad Trainee Poetry Hour every Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m. It's just trans radio. We're going to talk about awesome shit. And just trans people on my show, at least for the first few, because, you know. And you can also find me in the audience tonight for the Spotlight Pride special starring Chloe Koser at UCB tonight at 10:30 p.m. Chloe Koser is going to be the featured performer on Genre Reassignment, Brooklyn's only trans open mic. Every third Monday. Our next show is July 17th. Huh?
Which UCB stage?
Oh, UCB.
I think there's only one.
It's at Hell's 555 Kitchen. West 42nd Street.
Okay. Also,
yeah, West 42nd. Okay.
I thought they closed it.
Nope. Sarah Elizabeth.
You can find me on the internet, Instagram, Facebook. I'm not on Twitter, at Sarah Elizabeth Spins. It's also my Gmail at gmail.com. I'm not really doing anything exciting at the moment because I just got out of an abusive relationship. But with that being said, book me for things. Thanks.
Book her for things. You can find me here each and every Saturday at 7 p.m. live, except last week. Didn't quite make it, but that happens every now and then, very rarely. Also, you can find our archives at Podomatic, even though I'm supposed to be somewhere else for the archives. I want to thank everybody for being here. I don't have time to go around the room and thank you all individually.